Thank you very much. Thank you, Fran, for the invitation, and thank you for being here at the end of the conference. So today we'll be talking about the diversity and evolution of Staphylinidae, which is a tribe in the family Staphylinidae. And this is a group of multiple individuals in several places around the United States and the world. And one of my goals today is to show you that most of you think Staphylinids as a group of small brown black beetles. And my goal is to show that some of them are not. I will acknowledge that a lot of them are, but not all of them. So the family has, according to the last count by Al Newton, 51,000 species. And that doesn't include the Scedminids, which is another 6,000 or 7,000 beetles added to that. The typical characteristic is the reduction of the elytra, and that leaves the abdomen exposed. And most Staphylinid beetles will move the abdomen up and down, presumably releasing chemicals from their abdomen. And this is a picture of several subfamilies in the Staphylinids. The subfamily Staphylinidae contains approximately 7,000 species and has a worldwide distribution. There are 7 tribes in the Staphylinidae. The newly erected tribe Araonini with 4 species, the tribe Diohini with 43 species, the tribe Marothini with 20 species, the tribe Othini with 135, the tribe Platyprosopini with 50, the tribe Xantholinini with almost 1,500 species, and the focus here, the tribe Staphylinini with more than 5,000 species. So today I'll be talking about Staphylinini, and this is an awarded collaborative grant from NSF. And these are the front page of our website, which is easy to remember, is www.staphylinini.org. And our main goal here is to do a phylogenetic analysis of the tribe on a world basis, including fossils, morphology, and molecular data. Our second and probably equally important goal is to do a supergenetic classification and genetic revision of the tribe. As you're going to see later on, the concept of the subtribes is very outdated, and there are several genera here that are junk genera containing, for example, the genera Quidius or Philonthus, containing 100 species each, and with species that have no affinities to each other. Producing print and interactive keys, we also plan to do a revision of all fossil Staphylinini, and we have already a preliminary version of a Staphylinini catalog online, but we want to expand and verify the catalog. So the tribe Staphylinini has about 5,500 species. They're relatively large and colorful. But like everything that's large and colorful in taxonomy, it receives a lot of attention. And when it receives a lot of attention, people start describing species multiple times and start assigning species to genera. They shouldn't be there. There are 9 subtribes here. We have the subtribe Ablioquinina, the Anisolinina, the Eusipdelina, the Hyptiomina, the Philonthina, the Quidina, the Staphylinina, the Tanignathina, and the Xanthopigina, which is my taxonomic focus. So before I talk a little bit about our phylogenetic results, I'm going to show you these subtribes in detail and talk a little bit about them. So first of all, the subtribe Amblypinina with 65 species in each genera. These are ectoparasitic on mammals, and I put the ectoparasites on quotes because they are not really ectoparasites. Bob Team and Steve Ash about 10 years ago found out that they have a mutualistic relationship with mammals. These are Staphylinids that you'll find hanging on top of the animals on the fur. And originally they thought that they're ectoparasites on the mammals, but what happened is that they actually feed on other ectoparasites that are on the mammals. And they have a very specialized habitus for being on top of, on the fur of the mammals. The subtribe Alinsolinina with 189 species in 16 genera. He has a worldwide distribution, but it's particularly rich in the Oriental region, and typically found in leaf litter and decaying logs. The Eusipdelina in 8 genera. A lot of people synonymize or consider this subtribe to be a synonym subtribe with Staphylinina, although in our phylogenetic analysis, if we do that, the Staphylinina renders polyphyletic. The subtribe Hapiomina, with one genus, 31 species in the genus Holisus, it has a weird distribution. There is one species in Arizona and many in neotropical regions and some in Zaire, Africa. They're extremely flat, subcortical, and we have one species that are currently describing from Dominican Amber. The subtribe Philothina, this is the most PCOS subtribe in Staphylinini, with worldwide distribution and often found in decaying ephemeral habitat. The subtribe Quidina, with more than 1,200 species, they're all wide, but they're mostly species in temperate snow zones, and they are not found very frequently in the tropics. The genus Quidius here is a classic example of a junk genus containing several species that have no affinities, and one of my colleagues, Alexei Solodovnikov, is currently breaking up Quidius in several other genera. The genus, the species you see in the middle, the Iberia nematocera, is known from the Pacific Northwest, the single species in the genus. And it's a mystery genus, a mystery species, because it contains several characters from Quidina, Philothina, and Staphylinina, and we don't have any. So if any of you happen to collect any of those, we'll be grateful. The subtribe Staphylinina, with about 750 species worldwide, but especially rich in the oriental regions as well. And this is found in a variety of ground-based habitats. And these are some very famous genera here, Staphylinus, Platydrachus, with more than 500 species undescribed. The subtribe Tanignathina, with 49 species in one genus. This is the current idea about the subtribe, our new version of the subtribes. Several other genera are going to be added in this subtribe here. And finally, the subtribe Xanthopygina, with about 400 species. Almost all genera are neotropical. There are a few genera that are found in Africa or in oriental region, but these should probably be moved to other subtribes, and several of them are mimercophiles. So this is a graph with species numbers for Staphylinini, and this was made with data from Alan Newton. There are two y-axis here. The one right here shows you the total number of species described over the decades, and here at the below we have the different decades. So this line here corresponds with how many species, the total number of species described. The other axis here is how many species are described every decade, and these are the bars you see here. So we are now approximately 550 species for the last decade, and there are several peaks early on that they can very easily attribute to specific workers. For example, here this is David Sharp's work, and here this is Bernhauer's work. We want to include data from our larva descriptions into the phylogenetic analysis, but unfortunately there are very, very few larva descriptions here. Overall, less than 150 species are known from larvae, and most of them are not very useful. So the little bars here show you how many, the percentage of species described over several periods. And the first one, before 1941, these are descriptions with just a few words. That's completely useless, and we need to track down those larvae and describe them. The other group here, between 1967 and 1983, these are the majority of the descriptions done by a single worker. These are a little bit more elaborate, but still practically not useful. And only the last bit of descriptions, only 18% of them after 1994, have some value for us in our comparative studies. So I'm going to show you a couple of analyses here, the first with morphological data and the second with molecular data. And both of them, we're considering them work in progress. None of them are going to be final products as they are right now. I'm not going to show you a combination analysis here, because we started from different ends. Taxa that are interesting from a morphological perspective are not necessarily easily found for a molecular perspective. So we started from different ends and we're slowly converging to the same data set. So for the analysis here, the morphological analysis, we have 57 taxa and 76 adult characters. For the final data set, we hope to have about 150 taxa, 150 adult characters, and about 50 to 60 larvae characters. So this is the morphological tree, and this is almost impossible to read. And this is a tree impressed by Alex Solodovnikov and Andrea Soman in systematic entomology. And there are two things important here. One is that almost all the current subtribes are polyphyletic. The only subtribes that escape polyphyle is the subtribe Staphylinina, right here. And with the colors here, we have, and this is the first attempt by Alexi and Andrea, the first attempt to put new names into these groups, and we don't formally yet announce this group, but this is our first thoughts of how these groups need to be extracted to have some meaning. This is the Tanignathina that currently known from a single genus, and we propose all to expand it with all these genera here. For the molecular work, we have 32 taxa and 3 genes, CO1, 28S, and wingless, with some missing data for 28S. And the analysis you're going to see here is both parsimony and Bayesian analysis. And for the final data set, we want about 100 genera. I wrote taxa there, but I meant genera. 6 to 7 genes, CO1, 20S, wingless, CAD, topoisomerase, arginine kinase, and PepsiK. And these are genes that the Beetle Tree of Life folks are using. For a total of about 6,500 taxa, base pairs. So this is the single most parsimonious tree, but the Bayesian tree was very similar. And the picture is the same. So the subtribe Staphylinina here appears monophyletic, but everything else is either poly or paraphyletic. And obviously the support is not stellar because we have several missing characters and we need several other taxa to add here. One part of this project that's very exciting and I think unique in combination with other similar beetle projects is that we take very seriously the fossil Staphylinini. Currently there are less than 30 fossil Staphylinini described. And some are not really Staphylinini. This guy here was described as Quidius Bruri by Scudder in the late 19th century from Florissant, Colorado. And as you can see down here, he has pincers. So it's an earwig. The oldest definite Staphylinini is Criticuidius oculatus, described by Rivkin in 1988. And this is from the Cretaceous about 95 to 100 million years ago. And even though he didn't describe it as a Staphylinini, he just left it as Staphylinidae, we're pretty sure it's Staphylinini. And the number of taxa described so far is extremely low. I have about twice as many taxa undescribed in my office in Chattanooga. We have several taxa from Dominica number, and these are anything between 14 to 30 million years old, depending who you ask. Several from Baltic number, and this is mainly from the museum in Berlin. And we have several compression fossils, which are more problematic. For example, the first one here, if it is a Staphylinina, it's definitely a Staphylinini based on the overall habitus. And this is from early Cretaceous in Crato formation in Brazil. But there are several key characters that will distinguish it from a pederine that are missing or not able to see because this is a compression fossil. So we really cannot tell which subfamily belongs. On the other hand, there are some very definite Staphylinini as compression fossils. This is from China, and this is a specimen that Alexis Solodovnikov and you are describing together. And this is a definitely Quidiine from the early Cretaceous. So what are current efforts? We have a South America and Africa field trip plan to get more data for the molecular work. We're actively expanding our larva, adult, morphological data matrix and our molecular data matrix. And we are wrapping up all the specimens we need for the fossil Staphylinini. I need to make a trip to Smithsonian and MCZ to gather up the additional data, but we pretty much have everything else. And finally, we're expanding and verifying the online species catalog. The number of species I showed you earlier on the graph, these are the actual valid species. There are more than 9,000 species, published names of Staphylininis there. And Al Newton has almost verified pretty much all of them besides 63. And with that, I would like to acknowledge these people from lab and fieldwork from around the world, and NSF and the museum in Denmark for financial help. And I'll take any questions you have. Thank you.
So what will you do with the fossils that you can't really assign anywhere? You just score them for what characters you can see and let them find their own place, or wait until you find the specimens that have more information?
That's a good question. I guess I didn't clarify very well. As it is right now, we cannot really see what's going on, but recently David Grimaldi and Mike Engel have started using SEMs for compression fossils, so we hope we'll see some of the characters in the prosternum that are needed for this other SEM. I'm not convinced that we will be able to see all the characters, but maybe. If we cannot really tell, I don't think we're going to describe it, but. Yes?
In this particular trot, does there seem to be any phylogenetic signal to the occurrence of the right metallic color?
So these are the in philomphines. No, the short answer. It seems that the New Zealand, Australia stuff are more brightly colored than in the New World philomphina, but I'm not sure. We don't have a phylogeny of the subtribe, so I wouldn't know really how they relate. Thank you.